We are going to look just, my lesson is to cover just this one chapter. There's 21 verses in the chapter. It's a fairly short lesson this morning, but we'll get right into that this morning. Well, is everybody ready for the solar eclipse? Is that this week or next week? Is that this week? The following week? Okay. The 21st, I believe. All right. I guess there's a big craze about it. I tell you what, everywhere you go, there's talk about it. Nine more days. All right. It's going to be dark, huh? Does it only last 2 minutes?
Total. Wow. Total eclipse is only about 2 minutes. But I think the whole event, a couple of hours, yeah.
Yeah? Well. How many's bought their glasses for it? Anybody?
Not me.
Somehow? You're smart, you what? A flashlight. So if it's going to be dark and you wear those glasses, how are you going to see when it's dark? I don't know. It looks like 3D glasses or something I see. Oh, so when it's completely dark, you take them off. I see. All right. Well, I don't know. They say that we're going to be overrun with a lot of people in the area, so... we'll see. I had my barber the other day asked me about renting my house out. He said that he has a man that comes in to get his hair cut. He's from Dawson Springs. He has some rental property, I believe, or something like that. And I think he's renting houses for $1,400 for 2 days. And I don't know. I guess there's a lot of money in that and a lot of people. There you go. There you go. I don't know. Maybe it'd be as big as they all make it out to be. But anyway, good to see you. I hope you've had a good week and look forward to this week, of course, that's ahead. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 59. We'll pray and ask for the God's blessings upon our day. We'll get into our lesson this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you for this time that we do have, Lord, as we come together, as we gather together, as we assemble together. We pray for your blessings upon all that's said and done here today. We do pray, Lord, for the hour that you bless. We also pray for the service this morning. And then, Lord, our evening service, we pray for your blessings upon that. We pray for Brother Richardson that you would guide, lead, and direct in him, that you would work through him, that you would bless him as he preaches today. And God, help us to receive what you have in store for us today. We do pray, Lord, for the sick. We pray for those who are in need this morning. We pray for those who, maybe their need is spiritual. Maybe their need is Lord, maybe physical. We do pray for your blessings upon their life. We pray for all those this morning who have needs, prayer requests. We pray that you would answer those as well. Lord, we pray that you would just bless there. We pray, Lord, for the lost this morning, those that need to be saved. We pray that, Lord, they would see their need of salvation. I pray that this week you'll use us to be a witness to them. And God, I pray that you'll use us this week in that area. We pray now for your blessings upon our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, real quickly, we'll get into our lesson this morning. Of course, we open up with a word of prayer. We talk much about prayer. We'll have prayer requests given this morning as well. Let me ask you a question. Does God hear the prayers of a lost person? Not a trick question. What's that? All right, one prayer for salvation, all right? Good answer. We'll give her I don't have candy to give out. Do you give out candy to your kids in class when they answer the question? You do not. Okay. That'd make them hyper, wouldn't it? That'd be counterproductive there. All right. All right. Does God always hear the prayers of his people? What? Okay. All right. You say no. Huh? Anybody else got an idea?
I think
kind of shook you a little bit. Anybody else got an idea? Does God always hear the prayers of his people? All right, we're going to look at it this morning. We'll see if we can't get a little better understanding. And I hate to kind of begin with that because I don't want to get us going down a path of... not quite understanding maybe some of the mind of God, I guess, and some of the ways of God. I'm a firm believer that we don't know everything about God. There's a lot about God we don't know, and I think that, and I think it comes down to the bare facts that we're human beings, and we're talking about God, and but we'll look at some things here this morning. We'll get into Isaiah chapter 59, and we'll look at that point. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time this morning on the aspect of prayer, and I think you'll see where we're going to go here in just a moment. At the time of this chapter that we find here, there was a great unrest in Israel. You'll find that Judah had gotten a long ways from God. And I don't know if that's even a good term as well. You know, when a person gets away from God, you know, I'll make comments sometimes, well, they got a long ways from God. You know, when you're away from God, you're just away from God. But you're going to find that the people of God had made some really bad choices in life. They become a very sinful people, and the sin had pretty well become very prevalent in the society of the people of God. And because of that, morally, they had decayed greatly, and socially, they had been degraded greatly as well. And it all goes back to their lifestyle and their sins before God as a people. And because of that, you know that God becomes angry with them, and God is going to use Isaiah as the messenger to deliver the message of God to the people of God. God is trying to get them back in fellowship with him and back into a lifestyle that is pleasing unto God, because when you are in a lifestyle that is displeasing unto God, you're headed into a lot of trouble in life. I mean, life itself is a lot of trouble, but boy, we really complicate things when we get God angry with us. And that's what God is. God is angry with them. They had, as I mentioned last week, they had spoken falsehood had been, and lies had been spoken so much that people started believing the lies. Now they're away from God. They even have young people that grow up, they don't even know who God is. They've gotten so far away from God. But sin caused the people to lose their morality, I guess you could say, in life, or their moral beliefs in life, to the point that they had destruction in life and no direction in life, and they were completely in disarray. And they are in dire need of the helping hand of God. Now, in this chapter, I think verse number 20 would maybe be the, in my lesson book, it says verse 20 would be the theme verse of the chapter, where it talks about a redeemer that is going to come in and right the wrong. Now, I'm glad this morning that we have a redeemer. And this Redeemer in Isaiah chapter 59 is a type of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. Now, we're not going to go ahead and spend a lot of time on that, but I want to make sure that we do, and that's my last point, is going to be down around verse 20. If we don't get to it, I just want you to know in this chapter that there's hope for the people of God. And you know, there's always hope. No matter how dark the day may become, and no matter how sinful we may become, or as a people may become, or as a nation that we may become, there's always hope. When God is involved in things, there's always hope. So there is a Redeemer that shall come in verse number 20. Even though the chapter is pretty well going to discuss the sins of the people and the darkness of the hour, there is a bright light at the end of the tunnel, and that is there is a Redeemer, and there's better days that do lie ahead for the people of God. But they had need of someone to help them to change their direction, and that is going to be this Redeemer in verse number 20. And it just reminds us that God had a plan all along for the redemption of his people. God loves his people. No matter how sinful they may become, it never stops the love of God. No matter how sinful, how dark, how destructive they become in life, God always loves his people. So we get to verse number 1, and it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear."
So in verse number 1, it basically is a verse that is answering a couple of questions that people had, or actually is in response to the actions of the people of God, because no doubt there were some that believed there was no hope for them, that God was not able to bring them back once again into the fold, or that God wasn't able to bring them back from the destruction that they were involved in and the captivity that they were being involved in. And so there were some that believed that God doesn't hear their prayers. God doesn't hear their cry for help. And so basically verse number 1 is in response to that and to how maybe the people were praying. Now, let me just stop and say this real carefully. We'll talk a little bit and discuss prayer just a little bit. Prayer is a wonderful tool that we have this morning. Prayer is a wonderful thing, a possession that we have that's available to all the children of God. We all can pray to God, and we should, as a child of God, spend time in prayer. But we better be careful sometimes how we pray and what we pray for. You'll find that the people of God there were some that did pray and call out to God for help, but they got to the point where they believed that God couldn't help them. There were some that believed that God didn't hear them. And because God didn't respond the way they thought he should respond and in a timely manner like they thought he ought to respond. You see, there were some that prayed, no doubt, and asked God, deliver us, and they expected God to deliver them that day. Now, you have to be very careful when you pray and how you pray. And you'll even find in Isaiah's day, they were basically praying, daring God to come through for them and help them in their time of need. Now, we expect God to help, but I'm afraid sometimes we expect God to help the way we want it done, when we want it done, and how we want it done. Very, very dangerous territory that when a child of God gets to the point where they feel like their prayer life is telling God what to do. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's a soul in this room that maybe at times haven't prayed, and basically we're not really praying asking, we're praying telling God something. We have to understand this morning, God's God, we're not God. We don't decide how it's done, we don't decide if it's going to be done, we don't decide where it's going to be performed, we don't decide when it's going to be done. We have to understand this morning that prayer is not time that we spend dictating to God all that we want him to do for us. But how often do we find ourselves, and I'll be honest with you, you search your prayer life, and if you look through your prayer life, I'm afraid many times we spend way too much time telling God what needs to be done. God's very aware of what needs to be done. God's very aware of any problem you may have. God is very well, he is very aware this morning of the situations that you may find yourself in, the problems and the difficulties that you have in your life. I mean, God's God. God knows everything. Boy, sometimes our prayer life can become very, very distorted in what it was designed for. And often I find even my own self that we're guilty often of spending way too much time in our prayer life trying to tell God how to run his business when I ought to spend more time in my prayer life just praising God for who he is. But often do we not find ourselves trying to tell God what needs to be done? Now, we're good at that, are we not? I find that most everybody, including myself, we're very good at trying to tell everybody how to solve problems. And God's very aware of what needs to be done, and I promise you God has a plan. Verse 20 in the chapter, I mean, God's already got a plan. God's going to send a Redeemer. Things are going to get better. But in verse number 1, it's in response to the people of God because some of them believe that God wasn't able. If God was able, he'd get us out of this mess. And there were many people who believed that God had gotten to the point where he just wasn't able to handle their situation and their problems. And so you'll find here that it even says at the latter part of verse number one that it cannot it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. There were some people believe that it's not that he can't do it. God doesn't hear us. His ear has gotten to the point where he's deaf to our cry. And God just doesn't hear our prayer. So it goes back to the questions we just asked a few moments ago. Does God always hear the cry and the prayer of the people of God? And in this chapter, it's going to be a good example unto us about our prayer life and what prayer is all about. And I think even Brother Dwayne kind of steered in that direction a little bit too. You know, sometimes you may pray for something, and I know this is going to shock all of us, but sometimes God's answer is no. We don't like that. What do you mean no? I mean, that's the way it ought to be in life. That's the way it ought to work out. That's what I need. This is what needs to be done. And there's going to be times that God says, no, I've got a bigger plan, and I've got an answer. It's just down the road. It's on down in verse number 20, but it hasn't gotten to it yet. And it's not that God's not able, and it's not that God can't hear, and it's not that God can't work it out. God's got a plan. God's got it all worked out. It's just down in verse number 20. But there's going to be a period of time that goes by between verse 1 and verse number 20 where the people of God are upset. They're actually mad at God because he's allowing them to go through some things they don't want to go through. But as you read through the chapter, you can understand why God allows them and why God is a little, I don't even know if I like to use the word slow in responding, and I don't even like to use the word respond because I don't think God owes us anything in responding to anything that we asked for this morning. But when help does not come, and let's be honest this morning, when help doesn't come this morning on our schedule in the way we want it to be answered, in the way that we want it answered, the reaction that we have this morning, we blame God. So, well, what do you mean we blame God? There's a lot of people this morning quit church a long time ago. They blame God a long time ago because God didn't work something out the way they thought it ought to be worked out, and God didn't answer their prayers, and God didn't do what they wanted him to do. So their answer is, well, I'll just quit on God. And you'll find that in the book of Isaiah that many of the people of God did quit on God. They gave up. They got to the point where many of them didn't really care what God thought. But there were some that actually cared, and they did pray, they did cry to God, but some of them even gave up on their prayer life because they felt like God wasn't able. We know this morning, and we have to remind ourselves daily this, God's well able to handle any problem that you have this morning. You know, I had somebody the other day that mentioned to me, our president's going to get us into war with North Korea. And he may do it. I don't know. But I got news for you. God's not worried about North Korea this morning. He's not worried about America. He's not worried about our financial troubles. He's not worried about this. He's not worried about that. I mean, when you really think about it this morning, God's got a plan already in place this morning. God has an answer this morning. Now, the answer may not come today, it may not come tomorrow, and it may not come to about verse number 20, but God, you can rest assured this morning, God has a plan. But the people of God are struggling because the answer's not coming today. And there was a group of them that said he's not able to. And then there was another group that says, he's able, he just doesn't hear our cry. His ear is heavy to the point, they say in verse number 1, that it cannot hear. Meaning that the ear of God is not possible to hear the people's cry and prayer unto him. So the question is, this morning in verse number 1, is it possible that they're correct? Maybe there is a correct statement in the people that believe that God cannot hear. We need to be very careful that we take heed in our own prayer life. You know, I jotted some notes down. Prayer is not a way for me to get my will done. You know, and I have to remind myself of this. Prayer is not a way for me to get my will done. So when I have to remind myself of that, then it's going to change the way I pray, because I find myself often wanting to pray for what I want done in life. Have you ever been that way? Do you not see this morning that so often in our prayer life that's basically what our prayer life is? It's just basically us telling God what we want God to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking our request unto God. But anytime I take any request unto God, I have to understand that when I lay my request at the feet of the cross, or when I come to the throne of grace in prayer and I leave my request there, we have to understand that it's just a request. It's not a demand. I have to also accept the fact that God's answer may very well be no. I find this to be true often in prayer. It's not a yes or a no. It is yes, but later. But we feel like we are in such dire straits. Oh, my soul, I mean, life's going to come to an end if we don't get an answer to our prayer today. It's all over with. It's all going to come crumbling down. You know what? God doesn't sit on the throne of heaven biting his fingernails thinking, oh, my, what am I going to do? Because God's always got a plan. You see, this morning, there was a statement in my lesson book, and I like this. Prayer is a way to get God's will done. You see, prayer is not about us this morning in the first place. Prayer is about the will of God. You ever heard, we'll make comments sometimes and we'll pray that God's will be done? Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. Most time when we say that, we're lying. We're more concerned about our will than we are God's will many times. This morning, how many have a prayer request this morning? You know of someone that's sick. Anybody like that? Maybe it's hospital surgery. All right, Brother Jay. Who is it? Your sister. All right. And what's the need that your sister has? She fell this past week. Okay, and broke her arm and her hip. Okay, all right. So Brother Jay's prayer request. All right, go ahead. All right, my wife's sister who's in a bad, bad car accident. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Now, is there anything wrong with my wife or Brother Jay praying that God heal them? Nothing wrong with that. And it's going to, where it really gets difficult sometimes, but it may not be God's will to heal them. And sometimes I don't understand that. Now, I'm as carnal as anybody else. Sometimes I wonder, why in the world doesn't God heal so-and-so? But yet, you work with somebody that's as wicked as the devil himself. God heals them, but doesn't heal the one you want him to heal. And the only answer that I can give you sometimes, because it wasn't God's will. And that's what prayer is in the first place. I mean, it's nothing wrong with saying, God, please heal someone. It's not anything wrong with God asking God, would you please help in this? Or God, would you supply this? Or just whatever the case may be. There's nothing wrong with going to God with any of those. But what is wrong is when we go there and we expect God to do exactly what we want him to do. And the people of God, there were some that gave up. They gave up on God, and there were some, as I've mentioned many times this morning, that just believed, you know what, God's just not able to. The other group says God's well able, it's just he can't hear us. So what is it? Is it that he's not able, or is it he can't hear? Well, we can mark the first one off real quick. We know for sure this morning God is well able. I mean, what is there that God can't do? So prayer is not a way for us to get our will done, but prayer is actually a way to get the will of God accomplished. You see, God will answer according to his purpose and his timing, not ours. And I have to remind myself every single day that God is not interested in my schedule this morning. I may think that it needs to be done right now. If God doesn't answer, it's going to be total destruction by tomorrow, and I'm all in a panic. Do you ever hit the panic button in life? I hit it quite often. I tend to kind of panic. I get a little bent out of shape real easy and get worried, and I know I shouldn't worry. You know, people say, well, you know, to worry is sin. Do you ever worry? Oh, I never worry about anything. Yeah, and you're lying right now. I'm human. And one of my biggest faults in life, I'm impatient. I mean, I want it done. I want it done right now. But I find very often in life, God teaches me a whole lot about being patient, because many, 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 many times God says, often, not now, later. And the people of God in chapter 59, they're struggling. You find that some of them said that God's ear was heavy to the point that he couldn't hear. You see, there are some people that believe that if God does not answer right now the way you want it done and where you want it done, then it must be God doesn't hear. And it doesn't mean that. Just because you don't get the answer today, what you want, the way you want it, where you want it, how you want it, when you want it, it does not mean that God does not hear. You see, prayer, you know, for God, prayer is not a panic button that God gives us, that you just press this button, and I mean, just God jumps to, you know, to your every whim and your every desire, when you want it, how you want it, where you want it. And that's not the way God works in life. So we have the fact here that there were some that believed that God wasn't able, and then there were some that believed that God couldn't hear. Now, you have to understand, we're talking about a very, very sinful group of people. So we get to verse number 2, and you're going to find an answer to your question. In chapter 59, verse number 2, it says here, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he, what's those next three words? Will not, what? Hear. Now I want you to understand something, and you need to mark your Bible with this. It does not say that he cannot hear. It says that he, what? Will not. Now, when verse number 2 says that he will not hear, that's a choice on God. God makes that choice. And you're going to find that, you know what? God chose not to hear their prayers. Now, you can come to any conclusion you want to. I'm just going to give you my 2 cents worth. I think it is possible for a child of God to pray and God choose not to hear. It's not that he can't. He can. But as I find at the end of verse number 2, that he will not hear. They can cry all they want to. They can lay on the floor, they can scream, they can roll around, they can do whatever they want to, and they can pray for 24 hours solid, and God will not hear. And you say, now that's pretty cruel. I never dreamed. What do you mean God won't hear? Well, in verse number 2, you're going to find out why he chooses not to hear. Why is it God chooses not to hear? Verse number 2. But your what? Your iniquities have done what? It's separated between you and your God. You see, this morning, iniquities in my life will separate me from God. He goes on in verse number 2 and it says, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I look at it this way. I can choose how I want to live my life. God didn't force me to come here this morning. God doesn't force me to pray. God doesn't force me to love Him. God doesn't force me to love mankind. God doesn't force me to do good. God doesn't force me to do anything this morning. Every day that I live, I wake up and I have a choice of what I want to do with my life today. But I do believe this morning that I can live my life in such a way, and if I choose the life of iniquities and sin, that it's going to separate me from God. I honestly believe this morning, as a child of God, that I can live my life in such a way that would cause God to choose not to hear my prayer. And when you are in a position in life where God, you have separated yourself from God, you're living a life in such a way full of iniquity and sin, and you read through the chapter and you're going to find out, it goes into depth detail of describing how rebellious, how ungodly, how sinful, how rebellious, how wicked of a people they were. And we're talking about the people of God here. And it gets to the point where God doesn't even hear their prayers. Now, when you're living a life of iniquity and sin, and God just chooses not to hear your prayers, I'll just put it this way, you are in serious trouble. They're going to find themselves in some very serious trouble. Now, you have to understand, they don't know about verse 20 yet. All they know is their life is a mess. Life is completely in disorder. Society had decayed socially, morally. They were devastated. They were living in destruction, captivity, whatever else you want to throw in there. And they find themselves in some very serious trouble here. Now you have to understand, we've only read verse number 1 and verse 2. Now we know in verse 20... there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a bright spot. There is a better day ahead. There is a Redeemer that is going to come. But it's all going to be in the timing, the how, the where, the when, the way God wants it done. See, this morning, I guess we could debate it, and we could actually debate it around quite a bit. It could be possible for a saved individual to walk in this room this morning, but yet live a life in such a way that it separates them from God because of their iniquities and because of their sins in their life, to the point to where they could come and sit, kneel at the altar right here and pray, and their prayers are not going to go any further than the ceiling of this room. You see, this morning, God does care how we live. This garbage going around nowadays, well, you know, it doesn't matter what's on the outside. The only thing that matters is what's on the inside. Well, I've got news for you, dear friend. What's on the outside is going to be a result because of what's on the inside. You see, today people are being taught and being preached to and got this belief that they can live like the devil himself and walk in the house of God on Sunday and worship Him and just be, on a first-name basis with God. But they can walk out the doors and do whatever they want to do. Now, I've got news for you this morning. It's not the way it works with God. You see, God's not only concerned just about how you're doing today on Sunday, but God's interested in how you live on Monday. What your Tuesday looks like, and what about Fridays? And every day of the week is important in how we live for God. So we have here in verse number 2 where it even gives them the answer also to verse number 1, because there were some that believed that God wasn't able to help them. There was another group that said that God couldn't hear them. And then in verse number 2 it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Now, I just know according to the book of Isaiah that Judah was in some serious trouble here, and God chose not to hear their cry. Verse number 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief. They bring forth iniquity. Pretty descriptive. Guess what? God's not happy with the way they're living. Everybody has their own ideas and their own beliefs this morning. I kind of tend to believe God's probably not real happy with the way our country's living either. I often wonder when, and I've said this a million times here in Sunday school, I've often wondered when God looks down, what does God think? And contrary to what some other religions believe, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. We live in a very sinful day. And we find that God describes their actions in verse number 3 and verse number 4, but we have to understand that it's verse number 2 that has created the problem of why maybe God, I don't want to say he's slow to action here, because I don't believe God's slow. I believe God's always right on time. But we find here in verse number 2, it was the iniquities that separated them from God. It was their sins that had separated and driven that wedge to the point where they had separated themselves from God. And you'll find here that he will not hear, meaning he makes that choice. You see, when we sin in life, we take a step in the wrong direction away from God. Now, you've heard this preached a million times. God never moves. We're the one that moves. You know, God's in the same position today that he's always been in. God's where he's always been. God has never moved, but mankind is the one that moves away from him. And they chose to move away from God. They chose to go in a opposite direction than the ways of God. They made a choice in the lifestyles that they were living. They chose iniquity. They chose mischief. They chose shedding of innocent blood. They chose their perverse lifestyles that they were living. Those were all choices that they made, just like we have the same choice today to make. But sin will move you a little further from God. And here's what happened with Judah. It didn't happen overnight. It was a progression that took place. They took one step away from God, and they got involved in something. We can speculate maybe on a lot of things they were involved in life. And I don't know all the sins and iniquities that they were committing in their life, but as a people, they took a step away from God. And I'm sure they thought about it and thought, well, this, you know, it's not too bad. I mean, you know, God didn't strike me with lightning today. And when you make one step, I've always heard this to be true, and it's very, very true in life. Once you make one step, it's easy to make the second step. And boy, when you make two steps, man, the third one, it's just natural. You take another step. That's why I always caution people, you be very, very careful that you don't make the first step. Because after the first one, it gets easier to make the second. Then it gets easier to make a third. Then it's a fourth. And that's what happened with Judah. It didn't happen overnight. It just happened one day where they chose to take a step away from God. And for whatever reason, they thought, this didn't do bad. I mean, God didn't strike me dead. I'm still alive. I still got my job. I still have my home. I mean, things are, to be honest with you, I don't see life any different than it was the day before. And so another day or two goes by, and they make another step away from God, and they thought, it's not too bad. And then all of a sudden, they make a third step, and they thought, man, that was easy. And before you know it, they find themselves a long ways away from God. Where did it all start? It all started with one step. And now they find themselves to the point that they've got life so messed up, and so dark and so sinful and so wicked, to the point where, as we find at the end of verse number 2, that he will not hear. I don't ever want to get to the place where God chooses not to hear my prayers. So, well, you know, there's no way that we live perfect. We're never going to live a sinless life. And I understand all that, but there's a wonderful thing called forgiveness. And it's a wonderful thing that, you know what, you can always get forgiveness from God. This is little by little. They move further and further and further away from God. Verse number 4 basically gives you the reaction of Judah. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. In fact, they weren't worried about truth. They didn't like truth because they liked the sinful lifestyles they were living. They weren't interested in justice. They weren't interested in truth. They just wanted God to work their problems out. And how often do we find in society today, people aren't interested today about living right. They just want to be a little religious, have a little bit of God with them on Sundays, and live like the devil himself all week long. And but boy, when life gets into a bind, they want to call on God and expect God to step right in and solve their problems. That's not how it works with God. But that's what they wanted. They weren't interested. Verse number 4, none calleth for justice. They're not worried about justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They're not worried about truth. They trusteth in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief. They bring forth iniquity. So verse number 4 basically tells you that that's how they wanted to live, but yet in verse number 1, they wanted God to hear. They wanted God to move to a point where he solves all their problems, that he comes through, delivers them. Now, you're going to find that God is going to send a redeemer for those who want to be redeemed in verse number 20. I don't know, verse 1 through 4 just basically tells you a little bit of how your prayer life works or it doesn't work. Many times people feel like, you know, they may make comment, I just don't feel like God hears my prayers. I just don't feel like that I'm getting anything out of my prayer life. I just don't feel like my prayers are going anywhere. So then we have to ask ourselves, has God gotten to the point where he's not able? No, God's well able. You see, this morning, it's not, the problem doesn't lie with God. The problem always lies with mankind. And it's not that God cannot hear, but there are times when God chooses not to hear. And you have to understand, let's flip the coin here a little bit. Let's put ourselves in the position of God. Can you not understand why God's not going to rush to just bail them out at every little whim they have and just kind of, God is not... he's not 911. But that's how we treat God often. And if I get in the bind, if I get in a lot of trouble, I'll just dial 911. I'll just dial a prayer to God and God will bail me out. That's not how it's going to work, dear friend. You'll find in verse number 5. In fact, my wife was looking up something for me on the way here a little bit. They hatch, what's that next word? Anybody want to pronounce it? Cockatrice, I believe is how it's pronounced. Eggs. Does anybody know what that is? It's a what? A cockroach. It's a snake. It's no longer on Earth, I think. How do they know that? How do scientists know anyway? Has anybody ever found snake eggs? Anybody ever found any before? Nobody? Have you? I'll never forget when I was young. I don't remember. I was probably anywhere from 10 to 12, I believe. Me and my two cousins were playing in some woods behind our house, and there was an old log laying on there, and it had deteriorated. It was very brittle, but it was hollow. And I don't remember what we were doing, but I found a big bunch of snake eggs. And they're kind of oval. Was yours oval, about yay long, about yay big around, and so forth? Are all snake eggs like that? I don't know. And kind of weird. I mean, I thought, I didn't know what it was. So I grabbed all of them and took them home with me.
and got home with them and all that, and showed Mom. I said, Ma, I don't know what these are, but they're some kind of eggs. And I told her where I found them, so forth. She said, those are the weirdest eggs I've ever seen in my life, And we didn't think much about it. My dad came over, and he said, good Lord, boy, those are snake eggs. My mom, had a heart attack. Does anybody, I don't know, anybody in here know, what's the average snake lays, how many eggs? Anybody know? Do you know? Does anybody know? It's a bunch of them here. I mean, I don't remember. It was a whole lot of them. And you'll find in verse number 5, talking about these eggs, and weave a spider's web. So in verse number 5, you have the illustration of two animals. You have a snake and a spider. And the illustration is this. It's basically talking and basically meaning that sin hatches more sin. And committing one sin's bad enough, but here's the way sin normally works. You commit one sin, and then you'll find yourself committing a whole lot more, because once you commit one, it's a lot easier to commit two, and three, and four. And that's what happened with the people of God. It didn't happen just all at once, but boy, sin started to grow. Sin started to multiply. It started defiling families and people, and now a whole nation of people, if you would. And the whole nation now is overrun with sin and immorality and wickedness and sin and iniquities. And the whole, if you were to take a snap picture of the whole nation, you would find they were as a whole a very wicked, ungodly, sinful people. And I wonder this morning, if we're honest, if we were to take a picture of America this morning, you're going to find it's a pretty sinful place. A lot of very ungodly, wicked things taking place in our land today. And it seems like more and more every day we live that sin is classified as right and right is classified as wrong. That sin is okay and godliness is not okay. And what was bad with Judah, listen, here's what was bad. I mean, the people got to the point where they just felt like that's the way people live. This is the normal. And we live in a day and age today where in America, we feel like the sinful ways of our land is the norm now. There's not much difference between Isaiah chapter 59 and America today. As you read down through here, you're going to find verse number 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whatsoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And it goes on and on and on in describing the condition of the people of God and how wicked and ungodly that they had become. And because of that, they want to cry out all of a sudden and say, man, it's bad enough now. We need God to step in. Oh, God, come help us. God, deliver us. Problem is, God doesn't hear because he chooses not to. The reason he chooses not to is because of the sinfulness of the people. Their thoughts were constantly on sin and iniquity, according to verse number 11. Verse number 8, we read that their paths, the path was crooked and they did not know peace. And it goes on and on and on down through here of all the wickedness and godliness of the people here. But thank God there is verse number 20. It says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. So there is going to be hope for those who turn from their wicked ways. And no matter how dark our day may be, and no matter how sinful our land may be today, there's always hope for those that would turn to the Redeemer. Our Redeemer this morning is Jesus Christ, and he is our Redeemer. So you take and believe, however you want to this morning, but
I think the Bible does teach us this morning that there is a way that a person can become so away from God and so sinful in their life that they may cry, but it could be that God chooses not to hear. Don't ever get yourself in a position where God chooses not to hear your cry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray for your blessings upon the remainder of the hour that lies ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.